It's Marketplace Tech Report from American Public Media for Tuesday, September 21st, 2010. I'm John Moe. There's a vote coming up this week in Washington that will have a big impact on how you use the internet, what will be available to you, how much faster you'll be able to get things online. The FCC is expected to open up unused parts of the broadcast spectrum. A lot of people call this white space. Glenn Fleischman edits Wi-Fi networking news. He also writes for The Economist. Glenn, let's make sure we understand what's going on here with this issue. When we talk about the spectrum, what is that?
The spectrum in question, the white space spectrum, is broadcast spectrum used for television that is currently not in use in a given market. So if you're in Seattle or New York City or Detroit, there are empty spaces on the TV dial that do not have stations broadcasting. Partly that's licensing, partly that's to provide some spacing between stations so that they don't bleed into each other and interfere, which was a bigger problem in the analog days before the transition to digital.
So when we all had to change our TVs to digital TV, that opened up more physical space.
Yeah, it's almost physical space. There's frequencies that were formerly used to broadcast television that are not in use at present that may never be used in given markets. So the notion is, why not open this up in a way to try to replicate the success of Wi-Fi? Wi-Fi used what's called a junk band. It's a piece of spectrum that was formerly seen as almost unusable, and it's become a multi-hundred billion dollar a year business by being very clever about sending data over very short distances. The notion with this white space technology is, hey, we have spectrum that's sort of in use, sort of not, that's adjacent to stuff that's in use. If we're very, very clever about it, we could put out signals at a higher power that could go further, potentially carry more data, and spur new innovation in a way that isn't happening today.
That's Glenn Fleischman. So there will be more space available. Tim Wu is a professor at Columbia Law School, and a lot of his work focuses on telecommunications policy. Tim, what does this change exactly?
What's amazing about this is it opens up potentially the entire wireless markets to anyone who wants to try to build a better wireless transmitter. And today we don't have that. Today, the barrier to entry in the wireless world, you know, is somewhere around $10 billion, I would guess, if you want to get started. This is an environment where someone with millions of dollars, which is a big difference, or maybe even hundreds of thousands in a garage might be able to get started.
If I want to get in and build a device and have hundreds of thousands of dollars, great. But what does it mean if I don't? What does it mean to me as an average consumer?
The benefits of this in the long term, it could be quite profound because you may have a huge choice in what you run your wireless devices on. So let's say you buy a new age smartphone, and it, as opposed to buying it with Verizon, or with AT&T, you're in the market for whatever white space provider is there. In the end, you could have extremely low rates and much faster speeds for wireless devices and computers. So it threatens to turn the entire telecom market upside down.
Well, I would think then that Verizon and AT&T would be lined up to make sure this doesn't happen.
Well, they aren't in a position to prevent it. And I think they know for a while, at least, they're going to have much better technology. It's going to be a while till anyone starts to catch up with them.
Other stories we're following at MarketplaceTech.org. Google is adding another layer of security to your account. Besides a login and a password, you'll have a code sent to your mobile phone and then enter that to gain access. The service is optional and will roll out to customers in the next few months. And the Department of Transportation says distracted driving fatalities were down 6% in 2009 over the year before. But Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood said those numbers are probably too low. Not all agencies that report traffic fatalities use the classification of distracted driving. A major cause of distracted driving deaths? Mobile phones. Producer Larissa Anderson is here.
With more news about tech and driving, new research indicates that traffic lights could work a lot better than they do now. If lights are operated by a system that senses actual cars coming and going instead of using timed patterns, traffic flows better, fewer car emissions, less road rage.
And this isn't just a theory. They've tried this in Dresden, Germany, and they found that time spent stuck in traffic was cut by half for trams and buses and by over a third for pedestrians.
Only 9% for cars, but that's a start.
It's a start. And now Dresden wants to adopt the system permanently.
According to the scientists, the holy grail is that continuous wave of green lights as you drive.
Ah, the green wave. I love the green wave. Find us on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.